I invite your attention this evening to the book of 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 9. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 9. The title of the message is Women in the Church. Would you stand with me as we read from the Word of God? 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 9. Paul writes, it says, "In like manner also, that the women adorn themselves in modest apparel with propriety and moderation, not with braided hair or gold or pearls or costly clothing, but which is proper for women, professing godliness with good works. Let a woman learn in silence with all submission. And I do not permit a woman to teach or to have authority over a man, but to be in silence. For Adam was formed first, then Eve. Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived fell into transgression. Nevertheless, she will be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith, love, and holiness with self-control." Again, let's look to the Lord in prayer. Brother Ken Worthen, will you lead us? Amen. You may be seated. I always preach a message like this with great hesitation. And you'd never imagine why, would you? One of my first concerns as I look at scriptures like this is, I'm not a woman. I can't pretend like I know how a lady feels. I can't pretend like I know how a lady thinks. And I'm a firm believer, if you don't walk a mile in a person's shoes, you really don't have an idea. And my other concern is that as you preach and talk on this subject, is that ladies are going to think that, well, that preacher thinks that we're second-class citizens, and that's not true. Without you ladies, I know, I am convinced that victory would not be what she is today. That we, in our society, in our culture, would not be what we are today. And so as I go into this, I want you to know that I don't have anything against women. I married one, right? And I love her. But God has established an organizational system, and that's what Paul is talking about here, okay? And this organizational system, I don't believe, can be denied. This is the Word of God, and so we're going to look at it from that perspective. And we're going to look at it with all love and respect toward every lady in this church. We began with beauty. Guys, don't we have beautiful women in this church? There you go. And Paul opens this text, this passage, with beauty school. You do realize, of course, ladies and young ladies, most especially, that there is more to beauty than meets the eye. And just because a lady is attractive does not mean that she's beautiful. Proverbs chapter 31 and verse 30 says, "Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord shall be praised." And therefore, Paul addresses the way that women were dressing in his day. He says, "Women shall adorn themselves in modest apparel." That word "adorn" is really an interesting word, in that the Greek word literally means to put in order or to arrange. So ladies, the next time you're getting ready to go out with your husband and you're sitting in front of the mirror preparing yourself to go out, and he says, "Come on, hurry up," you just look at him and tell him, "I'm being scriptural. I'm arranging myself." But there's so much more to it than what is in the mirror. And so we're going to go through a quick three-step process, what I call Paul's beauty school. Number one, ladies, Remember to whom you belong. It doesn't matter if you're 80 years old, if you're 8 years old. Ladies, remember to whom you belong. And because of whom you belong, dress modestly, respectable, disciplined, honorable. And dress with all propriety, Paul said. That word propriety means reverence and respectfully. Listen. And this is probably, it's not targeted at young women, but to all women, but especially young women, take note. Okay? You should dress in a manner wearing only what you would wear if you were standing in the presence of Jesus Christ Himself. Okay? Base the length of your dress upon, could I wear it in front of Jesus? Base the cut of your blouse upon, could I wear this in front of Jesus Himself? Because quite honestly, you are in front of Jesus Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16, it says, do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? And if the Spirit of God, if you are the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit, what you wear will reflect upon the God that you serve. So ladies, step number one to beauty. Be modest. Be decent. Be honorable. Okay? It's not how short your dress is that makes you beautiful. It's how modest you are. Step two of Paul's beauty school. Beauty is not based upon what you wear. Paul said, not with braided hair or gold or pearls or costly garments. You see, Paul was fighting a culture battle in that day where women of wealth and influential women openly flaunted their Roman values and their sexuality in front of the world for all to see. Yeah? And we're living in the same kind of culture today where beauty is based upon dress size, the label of your clothes, what store you bought your clothes at. Ladies, that has nothing to do with being beautiful. As a matter of fact, your beauty is not based upon where you buy your clothes. Especially young people, please listen to this. Moms and dads, please say amen to this. They do not have to, you know, you do not have to buy the most expensive pair of jeans on the rack. Guess what? They're blue and they're jeans, and it doesn't matter where they came from. You know? Your beauty is not based upon how much you paid for your clothes. Your beauty is not based upon how short your dress is. Your beauty is not based upon how many diamonds or what kind of jewelry you have. All of that is so very shallow and superficial. Please don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying, ladies, you shouldn't fix up and put on makeup. All that's fine. But just understand that godly beauty goes much deeper. And that's what Paul's talking about. He's not taking a shot at women here. He's telling ladies how to be beautiful before a holy and mighty God. Step two, beauty's not based upon what you wear. Step three, dress should be what is proper for women professing godliness. That word proper is interesting in that it means fitting, but the foundation or the base of that Greek word literally means that which is clearly seen. And his idea is this, that you can tell who you belong to based upon how you dress. Okay? There are just ladies that you can look at and you know that is one modest lady. That is one lady who loves the Lord just based upon the way that they dress. Here's the question. Doesn't matter what age. Does your dress match who you say you are? Okay? Matthew 5:16 says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works." And what? Glorify your Father which is in heaven. As people look upon you, can they say, "She serves a great God"? That's Paul's point here. Okay? Now, that's Paul's beauty school. We've got that, right? Now we go on, where Paul takes it a step farther. And he says, let a woman learn in silence with all submission. I do not permit a woman to teach or to have authority over a man, but to be in silence. Let a woman learn in silence with all submission. Now that word silence is not like you would, like the first thought that comes to mind. Alright? First thought that comes to mind is that they don't speak. But that word silence, it literally means, or it's characterized by an inward calm or giving attention to an inward quietness. And the idea here is not so much of a lady never speaks. Paul's not saying, ladies, you can't speak in church. He's not. What he's saying, what he's talking about here is submission. Okay? Which means, and that's the word he used in verse 11. Learn in silence with that quiet demeanor or that inward calm with all submission, which means to arrange under. Here's the hard part, ladies. A lady, a godly lady, is willing to arrange herself under the instruction of God's men or God's man who is in a leadership role of the church. Now mind this, okay? We're talking about church and conduct in church. And so what does that look like? Paul says, I do not permit a woman to teach or to exercise authority over a man. Let's take that one statement at a time, all right? Here's what submission in a church setting looks like, ladies. I do not allow a woman to teach over a man, all right? That over a man is attached to both of these, whether it's teaching or authority. And so the point is, of course, that a lady should not teach in a church setting that includes adult men. Why? Because God's given role for adult men is the role of leadership, both in the home as well as in the church. Okay? Now, the first thought that comes to mind, well, that's discrimination. Well, first response to that is take it up with God because that's His standard. This is the Word of God, right? And so, but before we get all defensive, okay, it's not bigotry. As a matter of fact, ladies, I know that there are women and ladies in this church who are more intelligent than I am, and perhaps many of our men that are present. Okay? This is where you can say amen, ladies. We know that. We know that. Alright? And there are ladies that anybody, whether it's man or woman, that we can learn so much from. As a matter of fact, I will not hesitate. There are ladies in this church that if I want to know something or I can't figure something out, I'll go to some ladies that I know that are really sharp in the Word of God. And I'll say, what do you think about this? And guess what? I learn from them. But we're talking about a church setting. A public church setting. You know? So the idea here is, in that public church sitting, men are supposed to be the leadership of the church. Now, understand what this means. Men, if there are not enough teachers in this church to fill the need for Sunday school classes, we men are doing something wrong. Okay? You see, if we say, that's right, Brother Doug, the Word of God says the men are to lead and all that, that means we men have got to step up and be men and be leaders. That's our God-given role. And I'll be quite honest with you, there have been times that ladies have stepped up into those roles because we men were too lazy, or whatever the appropriate word is, to step up into the position that God had prepared for us. So that places a great responsibility upon us, that we're ready to be men of leadership. Paul also said, I do not allow a woman to have authority over a man. That word authority literally means to have control over. Once again, we're in a church sitting. What does that mean, Brother Doug? No women pastors. I expect an amen on that one. I'm sorry. No women pastors. Right? As a matter of fact, there's a popular woman pastor, and she's written books, and I cringe every time I hear her name, because I know if you look here in 1 Timothy and you look in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, she is in direct violation of the Word of God. No women pastors, no women deacons, and basically, women should not be in roles of leadership that would exercise authority and or control over the men of the church. Are you feeling uncomfortable yet? You ought to preach this, let me tell you. But you know, let's just be realistic. If you've ever served in the military, you know that there is a system of organization. And in that system of organizations, there are privates, sergeants, and master sergeants, and there are lieutenants and captains and colonels and majors and generals. And you know what I discovered when I was in the military? I discovered that just because a guy was a colonel did not mean he was any better, smarter, more intelligent, more valuable, or more useful than the lowly private. Amen. It did not. It just had to do with organization. All right? As a matter of fact, if there is an organization that has no system of organization, you know what you have? A mess. Yeah, a mess. There, and that's what Paul is teaching. It doesn't mean just like with the private and the colonel, it doesn't mean that the colonel is a better person or more value or better abilities. It simply means there is an organization. And in God's organization, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 33, for God is not the author of what? Confusion. You know, 1 Corinthians 14, 33 is dealing with the same subject. All right? If you read 33 through about 36, it's the same subject. It says, God's not the author of confusion. He's established a system for the church. And it's our responsibility to respect that system. Now, having said all that, and Paul goes on here. He says, for Adam was formed first. He says, and this is basically the reasoning. For Adam was formed first, then Eve. Okay? And Adam was not deceived, but the woman, being deceived, fell into transgression. This is his logic, right? But then in verse 15, it says, nevertheless, she will be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith, love, and holiness and with self-control. And that caught my eye. And I thought, what is Paul talking about here? And she'll be saved in childbearing. And ladies, what Paul is talking about here is that you have one of the most important and precious roles that exist upon this earth today.
Amen.
And that is being a mother. Now, I'm not saying you can't do anything else. But Paul's saying, here has to be your priority. Here has to be what you've got to pay close attention and be sure that you apply that motherly wisdom into your family. And he goes on, if they, who's the they? That is that family environment, that husband and that wife united in that family environment. And they, if they continue in faith, love, and holiness, and with self-control. What's Paul saying? Paul's saying God's way works. Okay? God's way works. You know, it's funny. And I try to tell people all the time in counseling, God knew what He was doing when He wrote the Word of God. When He wrote His Word. Yeah? And people come to me in marriage counseling, they say, I'm not going to take this anymore. I'm not going to put up with this anymore. I'm done. And I say, wait a minute. Can you go into the Word of God and show me in the Word of God where it says it's okay for you to leave? And you know what? I've gotten, well, I think God understands. No. Take your opinion out of it. It doesn't matter what you think. What does God say? Well, God says, save for the cause of fornication. Right? Unfaithfulness. That's the only reason that you should leave. But it's not just in marriage. It's in everything. God knew what He was doing when He wrote His Word, whether we're talking about marriage or whether we're talking about the organization of the church. Amen. And you know what? It took me a long time to figure this out. If I'm just submissive and I say, okay, God, I may not understand it all, but You're right because You're God. It just goes so much better. Life is so much sweeter. And as a pastor, well, sometimes I get the idea of things I should do and things I want to do. And then I look into the Word of God and I'm reminded, it's not about me. You know? It's about God. And conforming my life to God's standard. Isn't that what we want to do as a church? Isn't that what we want to be as a church? Maybe you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. I've got to stop and take just a moment and tell you the wonderful story of Jesus. See, Jesus came to this earth because you're a sinner, because I'm a sinner, and because they're sinners, because everybody here has a sin problem. And He came to this earth and He lived a perfect, sinless life so that sinners like us could have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. He gave His life upon the cross of Calvary to pay for your sin and for my sin. And because He gave that life, He issues an invitation. That invitation is to come to Him. Now, I want to tell you, there's no other way to heaven. There's no other name given among men whereby men must be saved. Right? It's Jesus Christ or nothing. And I know in the world today that's not popular in the world to say, well, just be a good person. God will understand. That's not Bible. Well, if you're a member of the church, you know, God will let you in because you're a member. That's not Bible. You see, we've got to take our practice from the Word of God, whether we're talking about church organization or whether we're talking about salvation, because God knew what He was doing when He wrote His Word.
The Bible says that whoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Have you called on the name of the Lord? We want to give you that opportunity here tonight as we prepare for a verse of invitation. Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you because you are God. Lord, I pray that tonight, if there is one in this service who does not know you as their Savior, I pray that tonight will be the night they would come to know you for salvation. And Lord, I pray for wisdom as we continue to serve you through this church, that all that we do would bring honor and glory to you, that we will submit to your leadership, that we'll always keep in mind that the way to build your church is upon your word. Lord, I pray your will be done now in Jesus' name.